Good morning. How's everybody doing?
All right.
We ought to be doing really good this morning, right?
Indeed.
What are we celebrating this morning, Caleb?
The birth of Jesus.
A little further down the road.
Thank you, Robert.
I'm not gonna ask you a question again.
I know who to direct all my questions to. Robert's on top of it. This morning we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. It's good to be here with you. If you haven't noticed, Greg is not here today. Pam's uncle passed away last week, and so they're in Pennsylvania. The funeral was yesterday, I believe. So continue to pray for them. They're going to be spending time with family up there for Easter. So pray for gospel conversations. That's what Greg asked for. So we're going to pray for that here in just a moment. Before we pray, do we have any prayer requests?
Be with Abby and Sia as they drive back today and tomorrow from Kansas City.
All right. You remember these, I'll ask you to pray. Anything else? If not, Jeremiah, would you open this with prayer?
Sure. Father, we thank you that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us, that you did not leave us in our sin, but that you gave your one and only Son, displayed your love for us, that you would save us, we who were your enemies. Lord, we celebrate that Christ did not stay dead, but that he was raised to new life, and all who find themselves in Christ can also be raised to life with him. Lord, we just pray for Josiah and Abby as they drive back. Keep them safe. We pray for Pam and Greg as they're away. Give them comfort with their family. We just ask now as we open your word that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and that we would love Christ more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be in Psalm 70. If you flip there, you'll notice it's a short psalm. It's about 5 verses. And when Greg asked me to teach, he said, "Don't worry, this is going to be a short lesson. It's short verses. No problem, right?" Well, whenever you get handed a short passage, don't expect it to be short. So Psalm 70 is an individual lament by David. So we've covered some lament psalms where David or the psalmist is crying out to God, crying out either because of sin or enemies or whatever is going on. He's crying out. So this psalm is not much different in that regard, that David is crying out for a deliverer. This is an urgent prayer, and he's praying for rescue. And specifically in chapter 70, he's praying for rescue from gloating enemies. So when I approach it and say, "Hey, this is a short psalm, this is simple, it's right to the point," well, a lot of folks think that Psalm 70 is actually an appendix to Psalm 69. Also, Psalm 70 is a preface to 71. So with that in mind, I think we have to read all 3 chapters together. So if y'all will, bear with me. That's what we're going to do this morning. So if you would start at 69, verse 1, and just follow along. "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. O Lord God of hosts, let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth for clothing, I became a byword for them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is for you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul, redeem me, ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity and there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Let their own table before them become a snare, and when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May your camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom you have struck down, and they recount the pain of those who have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. So remember, we're looking at 70 as an appendix to 69, so it's giving us a snapshot of what just took place here. So verse 1 of 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help, my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Verse 1 of 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth, you have taught me and still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you from the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. There's a lot there. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to be here long. We'll get out of here quick. So just, if you would, flip over to Psalm 40. I just want you to take notice, because Psalm 70, 1 through 5, is very similar to Psalm 40, 13 through 17. And I've got a reason for pointing this out. Not just to make the note of the differences, but there's one difference in particular I do want to make note of. Verse 13, it says, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me." Where in verse 1 of 70, David writes, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me." So David says, "Be pleased." Now, y'all remember that, because we're going to talk about that in just a moment. "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life." So it's all pretty similar. Then you get to verse 16. "But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord." Very similar, except great is the Lord instead of God is great. Uses Jehovah instead of Elohim. Verse 17, "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me." The Lord takes thought for me. So David is establishing in Psalm 40 a hope and a confidence there that God takes thought of him. God takes thought of him. And so knowing that, David writes this psalm. So he's writing these words. He's going through a pretty rough time. And I think saying a pretty rough time doesn't do it justice. It was such a rough time that speed was of a necessity. The very time of crisis was at hand. He needed help right then, right there. I mean, he cries out, "Lord, make haste to help me." And these circumstances, I mean, they're dire. Those who taunted him didn't just ridicule him. They didn't just seek to bring shame to him. They wanted his very life. Not just his physical life. They wanted his entire living being, his inner living being, his soul. Look back at 69 verses 1 through 3. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. Can you imagine swimming out in the ocean, the waves crashing into you? And you're just so exhausted. There's no foothold, no place to stand. You're treading water. That's how David's feeling right now. There's nothing to grab onto. There's no life raft. There's only a divine hand to reach out and offer salvation, to offer help. He is weary from crying out. His throat is parched. Have you ever cried out so loud, so much, that your voice just gone? That is distress. That is the distress that David is going through. And it sounds as if David is a man without hope. But we know from Psalm 40 that he's not. This psalm, look at the heading. It gives a purpose for why this psalm is written. Why is it written? If you have an ESV, I know it says it on there. If you don't, I don't know if it says it or not, but I'm sure it does. What does it say?
Memorial offering.
So what is this memorial offering that was offered here, that David is writing a psalm for? Now this isn't the only psalm written for memorial offering. 38 was written for memorial offering. I believe 3 was written for a memorial offering. I did not write those down here. But so this memorial offering was offered by the priest. If you look at Leviticus 2, 1 through 3, I just want to give you a little background of what this memorial offering is. And it's going to connect here in just a second. When anyone brings a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, he shall offer. It shall be a fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it and bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest, and he shall take from it a handful of the fine flour and oil and with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall burn this as his memorial portion on the altar. A food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, look back at 40, verse 13. What did David say? He said, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me." In what manner was the memorial offering made? It was made to be a pleasing aroma to the Lord. We have an offering which is being made to God on behalf of sin, an offering being made to God to seek God's pleasure. And you've got David in Psalm 40 saying, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me." Be pleased. So if our offering in the Old Testament is to be pleasing to the Lord, then David's prayers, our prayers, is to be an offering that is pleasing to the Lord. God delights in our prayers, right? God delights when we bring our petitions, our needs, our deepest groanings to God. So David presents his psalm during a memorial offering, and these psalms recognize God who delivers mankind from sin. That's ultimately what David's doing here. He's recognizing that God delivers mankind from sin. God is the source of all salvation, of both life and soul, and God provides refuge from all his enemies. And God is a place where all hope, all trust can be placed, because he's promised his salvation. It's a memorial sacrifice, a memorial offering. What else is implied by memorial? We remember. We remember. We remember that God has delivered mankind from sin. This isn't David's first rodeo. He didn't wake up and suddenly feel anguished. He didn't just wake up and say, you know what, I think I'll write a psalm asking God to not delay. He's remembering God's mercies. And he's saying, God, act upon your mercies. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. My enemies are there. They're present. They're real. What I'm feeling is real. The weight is pouring in on me. God, make haste to deliver me, because you've done it before. You've done it before, and you've done it before, and you've done it before. Not only have you done it with David, but God has done it with those who came before David. We see God's deliverance poured out in the wilderness. We see God's deliverance poured out at the garden. We see God's deliverance poured out throughout all of Scripture. We see God's deliverance poured out in our lives as well. Something, too, to take note of, just to get the context of where David's at. David's nearing the end of his race. He's petitioning God not to forsake him in his old age. Why would David fear this in old age? Folks that are older than me, I'm asking you, why would David fear this in old age? What happens in old age, guys?
We can fall off the cutoff.
Things don't work quite like they should. As the doctor told Aunt B and the Andy Griffith Show, you ain't no spring chicken anymore, are you? Things don't work like they used to. Can't work like you used to. Strength fails. Been spending a lot of time at the hospital with my grandfather, whose memory is failing. I mean, we see it. In just the last week, we've had 5 funerals just in our circles. Some of us have had even more. So we see what happens with old age. The body becomes weak. It becomes unable to fight off diseases. Just get tired. You find you're tired, not just physical things, but of everything else around you. Am I wrong? I'm looking. Scott's shaking his head no.
I'll limp all the time.
What? Just get too old for this stuff. But David, even in this moment, he finds his hope seated somewhere that does not grow old. He finds his hope seated in a place that does not grow weak. He finds it in a sustaining place. Yet he says that he says, I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. Puritan commentator wrote, no worldly possessions can prevent the humbled sinner from feeling himself to be poor and needy. When you reach the end of your days, I mean, must be nice. Got the kids out of the house? You got the freedom to go and do what you want? Things look like they're going uphill, right? Is that not how it is, Mary?
No, they come back and they
Yeah. And they bring the little ones with
them. But you've acquired all these worldly possessions. Everything. I mean, you finally got the house paid off. You finally got the car paid off. You get your senior coffee when you go to Hardee's. Things are looking up, right? David should be excited. He's getting that senior cup of coffee when he goes to Mickey D's. But we know that's not the case. Worldly possessions doesn't prevent one from being poor and needy. Poor and needy as in, we don't have it all together. It doesn't get any better in that regard, does it? Y'all just got married, right? Y'all been married how long now?
1 month.
1 month. It sounds pretty dismal, doesn't it? You've got lots to look forward to. Lots to look forward to. Not all of it's going to be good. But God is a God of infinite mercy. We all may be poor and needy, especially in regard to what God has to offer, in regard to God's mercy. We are all poor and needy in that regard. But God is a God of infinite mercy. And when David cries out in prayer, he's crying out in prayer to a God of infinite mercy. No matter what his circumstances, God provides that strength. And David, along with all of us here, along with all of creation, lacks the strength to withstand those circumstances. Times get hard. Times get rough. We lose loved ones. Our children are disobedient. We go to hard places. We endure that first year of marriage. What don't get fall off gets cut off, Mary. When we look at it, like John says, life is short and full of troubles. But praise God. God is a God of infinite mercy. As you said this week, John, there'll be green beans in heaven. And so we can identify with David. Maybe we haven't had this bad of a day. Maybe we haven't had enemies closing in on us, pursuing us in this way. But we have dealt with the hopelessness of sin. We've dealt with the chokehold that sin has on us, and that we were drowning in it. We were grasping for anything to give us rest in our treading. We stood before the accuser. We were put to shame. But today, if you are in Christ, when you are accused, when you are put to shame, when you feel as though you can just no longer endure, you feel as though the weight is pressing down on you, you feel like you just don't have the strength to continue on, when you realize you're poor and needy, then you can cry out as David did, because you know what your Lord has done. And what has our Lord done? What has he done? Who has endured such reproach on our behalf?
He died and rose again.
Caleb, I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself.
He died and rose again.
He died and rose again. And who is it that David is pointing to? Y'all speak up.
Well, it's a memorial offering.
Yeah. And it's pointing forward, though. It's looking toward Christ, who is God's faithfulness. God's promised a Savior, promised a Messiah. So God is going to sustain and carry out what he's promised to do through this memorial offering. So Christ, being the one who has endured the reproach on our behalf, who is that deliverer that God has provided, who comes to those who are poor and needy as help, as deliverer. Isaiah 53. We're going to read this and we'll close with this. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom was the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one with whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. And like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. So our low estate is not despised by God. Christ's low estate coming in, taking on flesh, offering a perfect sacrifice. Before honor comes humility. Our Lord took thought of us. He provided our help. He was our deliverer. And in God's perfect timing, God provided a Savior. A Savior that we remember today. A Savior who's no longer on the cross, who's no longer in the grave. A Savior who is risen. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us at this very moment. Our prayer is a swift messenger. It goes to God quickly. And while it may seem that God is delaying in his answers, we know from David's prayer that in waiting, our estimation of God's mercy is raised. Our hope and God's response is strengthened, because we read this and we know that God answers these prayers, that God answers the prayers and comes in his timing and provides exactly what is needed. He provides help and deliverance to poor and needy people. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for providing help and a deliverer. Thank you for providing Christ, who died a death that we deserve, who took our sin and gives us strength and encouragement and hope through your abundant mercy. Lord, be with us as we go into the worship hour. Lord, cause us to sing praises to you, cause us to sing boldly of you and what you have done. Lord, be with John as he brings us your word. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, that we may hear your word anew today. Lord, cause us to leave here and go out boldly as we gather with family for Easter, as we go out into our communities this week, whether it be work, school, whatever we do this week. And Lord, cause us to be bold as we go. Lord, we love you and desire to honor you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.